Even this is the Sermon of the Mount. And verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." John chapter 8, final reading. Familiar story, story that we all love. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses is in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We trust that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, we have that great verse there that says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And I read somewhere that it said, "Not even one bit." Not even one bit of darkness. And we know that John deals with extremes. There's no gray area when John writes. There's no middle ground. And it's either black and it's either white. When we think of light, it suggests the splendor of God. And it suggests the glory of God. And recently in our Bible reading, we looked at Revelation 21 and 23, which says, when it talks about that city there, "Hath no need, the city has no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So, we think of God, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb in his glory, who will light up this heavenly city. So there's no need of the sun and the moon. So light suggests splendor. Life suggests glory. Light suggests revelation, righteousness, holiness, and authority. But when we think of darkness, darkness suggests the kingdom of darkness. Darkness is hostile to light. And I'll give you an example. When I was a young boy, around our house was the CN Yards, and there was a old abandoned wooden building there called what they called a car barn. And we were curious one day, and we went into this abandoned building. It was dark. It was full of empty boxes, and and paper, newspaper, and stuff like that. Well, we were able to somehow turn on the electricity, the power, and the lights went on in this place. And what we saw was dozens and dozens of big, big, ugly rats that were exposed by this bright light that ran away and scurried away from the light. Those that are in the darkness do not want to be exposed by the light. They want to do their evilness in the darkness. They don't want to come to the light. We think of darkness suggests deceit, lies, error, and it suggests life cut off from God. So light symbolically stands for righteousness. Those who have fellowship with God do right things, do righteousness. Why? Because He is righteousness. Sin is spiritual darkness, and it's incompatible with the fellowship with God. God cannot look on any form of sin. And if we want to have fellowship with God, we need not have any darkness in our life. Light and darkness cannot exist in a person's life at the same time. If a man walks in darkness, he has no fellowship with God. If a man habitually walks in darkness, John would say, well, this person has never been saved. On the other hand, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord and with fellow Christians because we walk together in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. And the forgiveness is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ shed at the cross of Calvary. So blood provides God with a righteous basis in which He can forgive us of our sins. I want to just think for a minute of light and darkness in creation in Genesis 1. It says there that the earth was without form and void, and darkness, this is the word darkness, was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, He spoke, the Word spoke, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, there's five things I want to say about that. One is, there was light on the first day, but, you know, the sun was not created until the fourth day. And what is said by God's natural creation can be applied to the spiritual. And a lot of times God speaks of light in the natural way, and then He also then speaks of it in the spiritual way. So the earth was without form and void, and there was a darkness upon the face of the deep. And the darkness is the state of you and I are in if we're dead in trespasses and in sin. Every human heart is dead in trespasses and sin and is in darkness. But light is essential to life. We cannot have no life if we have no light. And nobody can be saved without spiritual light. When light comes in, we discover that we're unrighteous sinners. Number five. The divine work was worked by the Word. When He created light, He spoke. The Word spoke. He spoke words. And the way man receives light, the light of God, is also by the Word of God. And we know that favorite verse of ours, faith comes by hearing. So our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God speaks to us through His words. And God spoke to people through the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was upon earth here. And if I preach my own words, no light will go along with it. But when God's Word is preached, then we can expect light will follow. In the Gospel of John, Jesus came as a revelation of God, full of grace and truth in John 1 and 14. But in John 7, they had a celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And there He was displayed as the rivers of the living water. He now says He is the light of the world. In the feast, I've read that the Feast of the Tabernacles, the rabbis were able to fix up some extreme lights that would light up the whole city of Jerusalem. Well, Jesus Christ is not only the light of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is far more than that. As he says, he is the light of the world. Nothing is pure as light. Snow is pure, but it soon becomes polluted. And man's hand cannot corrupt the light. Man cannot tax the light either. Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner. He was holy. He was pure as light. But light is also bright. Jesus came in the brightness of the Father's glory, and he dispenses light into the darkness. So light is pure, light is bright, light is free. Like the air we breathe. No taxes on the air we breathe either. And it shines on both the rich and it shines on the poor. And Christ, as heaven's light, is offered freely to all. God's salvation goes out to everyone, and it's free, and it goes out to the rich, and it goes out to the poor. He is ready as the true light to light every man as they come into the world. Number four, revelation is another quality of light. Darkness obscures, and light reveals. And light throws light into the darkness, and it reveals to us what we really are. And light is also giving. Without the sun, the world would die. And he shines in our heart and reveals us that we're sinners. And then we open our heart and the light shines in and it dispels the darkness that we have in our heart. So as a living water is for those that are thirsty for God, the light is for those who are willing to walk in the light. In John chapter 8, we see the light revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the previous chapter, it was a feast of the tabernacle, and he was teaching all day, and it was time to leave. And the end of the chapter there, every man went to his own home. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ go? Verse 1 of chapter 8, he went to the Mount of Olives. And that would tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ had no place to lay his head. The foxes had their holes, the birds of the air had their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. So he's in communion with his God. He's on the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came down to the temple. Now just think of that. Early in the morning, as the first light is starting to shine, the true light of the world is back down to the temple to look for people to teach to. And early in the morning, all the people came to him. People came to him. And that reminds me of a verse in Proverbs 8 and 17 says that those that seek me early shall find me. Here are their people seeking the light of the world early in the morning. So he's sitting down and he's talking to the people there. And there's a great, great interruption. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were set out to trap, to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ, to catch him by saying something wrong. They caught a woman that was committed adultery. And they drag her, as it were, interrupt the Lord Jesus as he's teaching, and they're going to try to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. So they brought this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, well, the Moses and his law said that this woman should be stoned. What do you say? My first question is, where was the man? They both were to be stoned. Was the man one of the scribes and the Pharisees that set this whole thing up? We don't know. Where was the man? So they bring the woman. And the trap was, if the Lord Jesus Christ said, yes, she should be stoned, he's talking to all these common people would be offended by what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, we're going to disregard Moses' law, then he'd be contradicting the Old Testament. They thought they had him trapped. So, what are you going to say, Lord? And he writes on the ground. What did he write? Well, we could read books and books and books, but you know what? Nobody knows. You can't go there and see what's on the ground there. But he wrote something that would speak to these people. So they persisted him. Well, what are you going to do? You're just going to write on the ground? What do you say? And so he said something. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then he starts to write again. And we can see the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. He exposes to these scribes and Pharisees that they are sinners. He exposes them as the light of the world that they are not capable of taking up that first stone and stoning that woman. So that's what light does. It reveals. We see the light of the world in action here. So one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, these scribes and the Pharisees, they walk out because they've been exposed by the light of the world. So there's only two of them left, the Lord Jesus and this woman. And the Lord says, "Woman, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more." Now in verse 12, then the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." One of the I ams, the great I ams. And by him saying this, these Jews from the Old Testament would know for sure that he was claiming to be the Messiah. He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John chapter 9, he says the same thing, but he qualifies it in John chapter 9 and verse 5. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus is no longer in the world. He's in heaven. So who is the light of the world now? Who represents Christ now? Well, that's you and me. And all those who are saved. Jesus said, "We are the light of the world." We have no light of our own. It's like the sun and the moon. The sun shines, and it has the light, and it puts light onto the moon so that the moon can shine also. In ourselves, we have no light. But when we get saved, he, as it were, lights us up so that we can display Christ and his righteousness. A lamp or a candle is a dark body and can give no light until it's lighted. Likewise, we cannot give light until we receive divine grace and we're enlightened by the Spirit of God. And once we're lighted, once we're saved, know our sins forgiven, we're to display our light. And in Matthew chapter 5, what we read, we are not to put our light under a bushel. What would that speak of? Putting our light under a bushel would be trade, commerce, work. So we're not to let our work, our job, our being busy stop us from displaying our light in the world. Number two, in Mark 5 and 21, the Sermon on the Mount, it says, also there it says, we're not to put our light under our bed. What does that mean? Bed means rest and ease. We only got one chance at life. So we need to take that chance, and we're to be the light of the world and to reflect Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 4 and 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. I've been thinking lately, on Matthew chapter 13 about the parable of the sower. About the sower having a basket of seeds. And he's taken the seed and he's thrown it onto the ground, and it falls upon four different types of ground. And only one type of ground is fruit produced. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that sower. But who's the sower today? Well, we are the sowers of the seed of the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. So we are to be sowing the seed. And each seed, as it's passed onto the ground, or each seed as it's spoken, the Word of God, it's a test to those people. And how do we sow the seed? How are we lights of the world? And how do we sow the seed? Well, in Matthew 5, it talks about as we sow the seed, that these men will glorify God when they see our works, when they see us reflect Christ and His love and His compassion and His grace. And as they see that in us, they will glorify God. How else do we sow the seed? Well, from preaching, we're sowing the seed. While you're teaching Sunday school, you're sowing the seed. While you're teaching your children at home, you're sowing the seed. While you put a card in the mail to someone, for whatever reason and has a verse on it, we're sowing the seed. At the exhibition, as we're giving out John 3:16 texts, as we're giving out tracts, we're sowing the seed. As we're with our friends, maybe at coffee, we're sowing the seed. Some of you may know that I'm back at work just for the summer. I haven't been working for about over a year and a half. And I was thinking, why? Well, you know, everything lined up. They needed me. Why am I there? Well, you know, I have some unfinished business there. There were two people, a guy and a girl, that I witnessed through coffee breaks. And it was so great to just start witnessing to them again, to sow the seed. We don't know how it's going to be received, because there's different types of ground. There are hard people, there are skeptical people, but we still have to sow the seed. God gives the increase. God saves people. All we're to do is to sow the seed, and to, through our works, they may see Christ in us and see that God is real, and that they might be saved. So, trust that God will bless to us the reading of His Word and what has been said about it. Shall we pray?